I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in and filled the light from heaven, filled my soul. He paid my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just the thought that Jesus made me whole.
Let's take a look at 299. I decided to follow Jesus. We'll sing all three verses. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You're going to give a note.
Well, I think everybody's ready for you.
Say it ain't so.
It is so. Okay. Good morning, everyone. All right. Again, it's a good morning. Good morning, Caleb. It's a good morning. Each day that we awake, of course, to see another day. Doing fantastic. As Sister Pauline always says, better than I deserve. Because we all deserve death, but God had something in mind other than death for us, right? He gave us an opportunity to have life. So I'm happy about that, and all of us should be. So I was hoping to be able to try to go through Job a little quicker and just hit it three chapters at a time. And then as I was going through the study, I realized not that the things that Job said before were not relevant. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's right. Oh, yeah. A lot of us in here, some of you in here, have lost your family members, you know? And you can relate to that. And so when Job had all these things put up on him, he started crying out. Every time we would study what Job said about the matter, Job was pretty much saying, hey, you know, I'm hurting. I'm speaking out of my agony as a human being, right? My human experience. And then as his so-called friends started attacking him, he said the same thing. Now, this time, Job, it's a little different here. I was a little surprised. I found some stuff here that I think is going to be very interesting. So, again, we're in chapter 12 of Job now. And I think we're going to stay in 12 because there's a lot here to go into today that I think you're going to really enjoy. Yes? Yes, he was.
He was real hurt inside.
Extremely.
You know, if you lost a family, yeah, automatic hurt inside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, I always said that the physical hurt,
yeah,
it's a horrible thing. And people that have pain every day, you know, when you wake up with pain, it's a horrible thing. But man, emotional pain, oh my goodness. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And with Job, what we had? We had emotional and physical.
Yeah, he had real emotional.
Yeah.
All of that, he had all of that. And you know, if you lose, if you lose your family,
yes,
you will hurt inside.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so now he's got an emotional pain on top of that physical pain, right? And so he's in pain 24 hours, 7 days a week. As long as he's awake, he's in pain. And trust me, when you got boils all over your body, most of your life is spent awake. You're not sleeping too much.
Yeah.
And he said when he did sleep, it was terror. Yes, verse 12. Yeah, I mean chapter 12, verses 1 through 6 is where we'll start. Let's see. Let's get you. Do we have this mic fired up over here, Joe? We're going to do something different. We're going to have our speakers come up front. All right. Come on, reader. Come on to the front. Are you going to read? You going to read?
Me?
One through. Oh, I thought you were going to read. Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Who wants to read? Okay, come on up. And then you'll take it next time, Ken. Okay. He's fast, right? All right, so you'll get, let's see, what's the next group of verses? I believe it's 7 through 12. 7 through 12. Okay, verses 7 through 12. All right, see if that's fired up right there, because I've got my lapels. There you go. We're Job chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6.
Job chapter 12. And Job replied, doubtless you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have a mind as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Who does not know all these things? I have become a laughingstock to my friends, though I called upon God and he answered, a mere laughingstock, though righteous and blameless. Men at ease have contempt for misfortune as the fate of those whose feet are slipping. The tents of marauders are undisturbed, and those who provoke God are secure, those who carry their God in their hands.
Okay, so let us go ahead and dissect into this. No doubt, and Job answered and said in verse 2, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Okay, now first off, what do we have? We have these friends of his that are spewing, I'm going to say spewing, this so-called wisdom on him. And what is this so-called wisdom? Condemning him, accusing him, falsely judging him, right? That's their wisdom. And so it's based on the wisdom of that time period, which says that if you are blessed financially, right, God loves you, you're doing good, you're a good person. But if you have some sort of things going on with you financially or physically, something's wrong, you've got some secret sin and God doesn't like you. So if you're poor, God hates you. If you're rich, God loves you. Okay? That thing, well, unfortunately, we see that theme rear its ugly head up today. So we see the same thing going on today. So that's the wisdom, right? Now, doesn't this seem a little sarcastic that Job, and again, I don't blame him. He says, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Wisdom's going to die with you, okay? That's not wisdom. Okay, you don't have wisdom. You're going to die. And wisdom is going to die with you, but it's not going to die. You're not going to die wise. I mean, it's almost a sarcastic thing. It's kind of hard that he catches it, but basically wisdom's going to die with you. This is evidently the language of severe sarcasm. He's being very sarcastic right now, okay? He doesn't mean that they're wise. He's just saying wisdom is going to die with you, okay? You're not going to die with wisdom, basically, if you reverse that. And then he goes on to say, but I have understanding as well as you. So I've got understanding just as well as you. I've got wisdom like you have, right? More so. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? And so he's going to go into it. Now, in this particular verse, we're going to go into 5. It says, he that is ready to slip with his feet is a lamb as despised in the thought of him that is at ease. So we have Job in chapter 5. It is truly, he truly spoke of the universal trait of the fallen human nature, namely that of despising the unfortunate. And we see that today. I was talking about, like, we have people, citizens of Dallas, that become homeless. What are they called? What's the name they call?
Unfortunate.
Okay, unfortunate. That's circumstances. Huh? They put you under one umbrella, is what they call you when you're on the street. Vagabond is an old term they used to use, right? What was that? Homeless. Homeless. A homeless man was walking out. A bunch of homeless people are hanging out. Okay, it's like a dirty word, a dirty label. Okay, well, how can we, aren't you no longer, are you a Dallas citizen or wherever you, whatever city that you live in? Are you not a citizen of that city? Okay, are you not a citizen of that state that you live in? Are you not a Texan anymore because you're on the street? And so that is what he's saying. People that have misfortune are frowned upon. We frown upon people that have misfortune. It's like you, something bad happens to you, and all of a sudden, people don't want to accept it. They want to think there's got to be something that you're doing. You must have did something to deserve what you got. God wouldn't allow that, would he? Because we know that God doesn't allow the sun to shine on evil people, right? What?
No.
He lets, he doesn't let the sun shine on evil people? And the good, right? So this is the God. So somebody, I'm going to say his name, Job, somebody kind of understands the wisdom of God. But Zophar, Eliphaz, Beaz, Bildad don't seem to understand that. They have the wisdom of the world as a difference. And so what Job is saying is, I understand. I have wisdom too, okay? He should have said, I have the wisdom of God. But he wasn't going to go that way and crush them like they crushed him. But what he said is, it seems to be a thing in nature, the nature of man, that when somebody is having a hardship and they're down and out, people frown and look down on you. People that come back from the military who served, and they have post-traumatic stress syndrome. Oh, I went to the military. I know a lot of people went to the military that didn't come back messed up like that. Oh, he's just looking for an excuse. He's looking for attention. That's what they'll do. Okay, that's the world. There's nothing wrong with you. It's all in your head. Who knows the heart of man? Exactly. We don't. But see, Zophar knows. He thinks he knows the heart of man. Bildad thinks he knows the heart of man. Eliphaz thinks he knows the heart of man, right? Because they're judging Job, all right. Unjustly, unfortunately, right? Okay, so we go on. This is an unfortunate thing, despising those who are unfortunate, and we see that today. Even countries. Do you see that where there's people who are starving in other countries? It's like, well, why don't they just do this, or can't they do something to get together, and why are they just sitting there starving? You don't know their situation. You don't know what happened to those people, right? You have no idea the circumstance. We don't know. We're not there. But we're judging them. We're saying, well, you know, why won't they just go out and hunt or dig for water? Why are they sitting there just starving to death? Go do something. What's wrong with those people, right? And we start despising people who are poor and misfortunate. So, and that is the way of the world. And that is why Jesus Christ, when he came, who did he hang around? Okay, those who were despised, right? The people who were despised, the tax collectors were despised by man. But God showed charity. Oh God, he showed love, right, to the tax collector. What about the harlot, the prostitute? Okay, yes, he showed compassion to the prostitute. What about those who were not Hebrew of blood? Okay, those Gentiles, those filthy, nasty, unclean Gentiles. He showed compassion to them too, didn't he? All those who are unfortunate. What about the poor? You better leave it. What about the lame, the blind? Okay, yes, he came. He said, the hospital is not for those who are well, but for those who are sick. He's seeking those who are sick, right? The unfortunate. And so blessed is the man that finds himself in that condition. But the world says, you are a curse. You're cursed by God. And the sure that Job bewails the situation. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 6. It says, the tabernacle of robbers prosper, right? And they that provoke God are secure, into whose hands God bringeth abundancy. Wow, you're trying to tell me that robbers, people who rob, have a lot of wealth? I mean, can you believe that? That God would allow that? I mean, let's be honest. Let's look at the world. Let's look at God told you himself that he allows that sun to shine on the just as well as the unjust, right? But see, the wisdom of them would say, oh, no, no, no. If that person is evil, God is going to come down and he's not going to let the sun shine on them. Is that true? No. That guy robbed. He stole to get that money. Is God going to take the money away from him? Is God going to take all the stuff that he buys away from him, you know? He's going to come down, hey, you stole that. I'm going to take that from you. Is that how God operates? See, this is what we have to look at, the wisdom of God, the nature of God. And so then you have these guys, Zophar and his buddies, are trying to judge and say the opposite, that if you are good, God's going to bless you. Is that right? If I'm a robber and I go and I kill somebody and take what they have, then and when I have all this money, that means God's blessed me, right?
No.
Since I have all this money.
No.
So what's going on when we got a God that allows this?
Well, we know that he works all things for the good of those who love him.
True.
But I think that the enemy also, you know, the enemy can, I mean, you look at drug dealers and things like this.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that those things come from the enemy. The enemy can give some, you know, can give some pretty nice gifts too.
Good point.
But I also recall from Warren having said something to the effect of God will take the things that are obtained from people and give them to his people.
He will, and he's done it, right? Okay, so we never know. We know one thing, that man has free will. And if God came down here and was involved directly with all of our lives and said, no, no, yes, okay, then are we having any choice at all? No, we're not having any choice at all. We have to be able to have choice, to be able to choose. And that's what people don't understand when they said, I can't worship a God that allows all this evil, that allows these poor kids to starve to death, that allows all this murder, that allows all the war, that allows wicked people to prosper and good people to be poor and suffer. I don't want to worship a God like that. See, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. That'll be a Zophar. That'll be a Bildad, Eliphaz, right? Go ahead, Kenneth. What's that proverb again?
Iron sharpens iron.
I'm sorry, my ears are not working too good.
A lot of people don't understand that, you know, God works from the bottom. Here's the thing with Job, is that those people were coming at Job, but Job, in the spiritual sense, was getting sharper.
Yeah.
You know, and God talks about us being refined to the fire.
That's right.
And one thing he did with Israel is that when he was bringing Israel out, one thing that they didn't understand is that the hardships they were going through was supposed to increase their faith.
Did you hear that? The hardship that the Israelites were going through was to increase their faith. Count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations. James chapter 1, is that not the same thing? Knowing that the going through these trials and tribulations increases your patience. And patience works perfection. And then perfection, you're wanting nothing. Okay? Now you've got the tools necessary to be able to do what you need to do as a soldier. Right? So he's sharpening. That's when you go to boot camp. We talked about that. If you go to the military, you go to boot camp. What is boot camp for? To prepare you for war, okay? To toughen you up so that you go from war. That's what we go through. But see, wisdom tells us that it's starting from the ground up, okay? Tells us that he's preparing us for what's coming, what is this coming in the future, okay? He's toughening us up. He's making us stronger. And Job, same situation, right? He was a good man, but he's a human, and he could be increased, right, and made better. He's not perfect by any means, okay? So Job here in this passage, he's bewailing the situation. He is a godly man, has great wisdom and understanding, but here he's treated like a criminal, a simpleton. They're talking down to him like he's stupid. They're talking down to him like he's some sort of robber or thief. His friend's theories, and that's basically what it is, it is flatly contradicted by the fact that it is known that robbers are prospering while he's reduced to mockery. So you have a good man who's reduced to mockery. They're making fun of him. He's lost everything. He's lost his finances. He's lost his children. He's been vexed with these boils all over his face. So you have a good man, bad things are happening to him. You have evil people, and they're having the time of their life, right? The yachts, the private jets, right? All the wine that they can drink, all the caviar, the champagne, the partying. So what's that about? When you're saying that God is going to destroy and he's going to vex people who are evil, and then he's going to reward those who are good. But yet you have evil people who are prospering in life, right? And that's what we have to look at. So we have to get out of that mindset, the human mindset, and just look at nature itself. And we're going to go into that in a little bit here. We're going to look at nature. And six, God does not deal with men in this life according to their character. What his friends were trying to tell him is that if you're a bad person, God is going to destroy you and bad things are going to happen to you. You're going to lose everything you have. You're going to lose your kids, okay? You're going to get sores all over your body. You're a bad guy. That's why that happened. And if you're prosperous, means you got trillions of dollars in the bank, you're a good person. God loves you and shines on you. You're an example for the world, right? It's not true. That's not true at all. Quite the opposite. You'll be very surprised that a lot of people with a lot of money in their banks are not very nice people. In fact, they're evil, and a lot of them do not worship God. Not the God that we serve. They have a different God. And so that God helps them to have the prosperity that they have, the power that they have. All of those things come from the evil one, okay? Because the evil one, guess what? Even Christ. I mean, he's that arrogant. Hey, Christ, why don't you bow down and worship me? And I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Who was that did that? Was that Slewfoot? Was that Satan? Yeah. He's that. So if he would do that to Christ, come on. He won't do that to us, right? So now we're getting a different perspective. We're getting a perspective of Job's friends, how they see God's wisdom wrongly, and then we see God's wisdom. And now we're going to look at nature here. We're in Job chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 7 through 12. Come on up. Job chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. Now we're going to look at nature in regards to the beast, the animals. And we're going to see if they can teach us something.
Amen. I'll be reading from the NIV.
Okay.
Amen. And the Word of God reads, "But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind.
Yes.
Does not the ear test words and the tongue taste food? Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding?"
All right, so we're going to dissect that down, and we'll look at 7. Thank you, brother. So what Job is declaring here is a clear truth that even a fool could not deny, even though they did. In the whole creation, you have the strong and you have those who are prey, right? So the strong, they basically feast on the weak. Do we not see that in nature? And so, and a lot of times we'll look at it with our judgmental eyes, nature has taken place like in a deep, you know, areas of the safari desert, you know. I mean, you have the whether it's in the jungles, whether it's in, and you have places in Africa where wild animals do what they do naturally. And you'll see lions, and they will be looking at maybe some gazelles. And then there'll be a baby gazelle, or there'll be a gazelle that's injured. And you have the strong lion that's going to prey on the weak. And they go after the weak, and all of a sudden you have these animals running, and they're running for their lives, and these big, huge, strong lions go after the weak and go after the little baby, and they get the baby, and they kill the baby and rip it apart. And we say, that's not fair, right? Doesn't seem like it's fair. In our eyes, it's a horrible thing. And a lot of us, if we were there and had a gun, we'd probably shoot the lion, right? And go, that's not fair. Let's free that baby. You know, it seems like it's in our view, our way of judging things, and that's what the problem was. Job's friends, they had unrighteous judgment. They did not really understand God's judgment. And so that's what makes it hard for us in this world. A lot of us are depressed because we are seeing the world through Zophar's eyes, and Bildad's eyes, and Eliphaz's eyes, and their wisdom, and we're failed to see God's wisdom. And see, if we look at it through God's wisdom, we won't even be depressed. Okay? Yes.
That's what the problem is. When God took them through the wilderness.
Yes.
If there was an easier way, God would have done him.
Completely lean on him. Yes.
One thing they didn't understand is they came out of Israel, they had a mentality of being slaves.
Yes.
God wanted to
free them. Come. Yes. So we're going to go through the desert where there is no shade. No shade at all. Who am I going to rely on for my shade? God. I'm going to go through a desert where there's no water at all. Who am I going to rely on for water? God. I'm going to go through the desert where there's no traces of food. Who am I going to rely on? Okay. So again, our wisdom would be, hey, take me through fertile ground, God. Somewhere where I can have shade from the sun, God. Somewhere where I can have some water, God. Some food, God. Okay. Take me over here. Why are you taking me over here? Why do I have to go and get baptized 7 times in the dirty river when there's clean water over here? Okay? So again, we're not seeing it God's way, the wisdom of God. And so that's a good thing about Job, and that's what helped him to get through that. And we wonder, how can Job go through all of that and not curse God and not lose his allegiance to God? Because he had a deeper understanding about God than his buddies that claim to have wisdom, okay, that came to condemn him, right? And so in 7 it says, the hawks and the eagles are not forbidden to prey upon small and the weak. We see it all the time, right? You have a big old a hawk, right? We see it. Unfortunately, we see the carnage out here in the back of the church when we were feeding the pigeons. And what would happen when a hawk would see all those pigeons? Okay, yeah, he came down. Whew, the hawk is bigger. The hawk is stronger. He's smarter. Okay, and I didn't understand that till Larry explained that to me. I'd look at the hawk, and I'm like, I can't see the hawk. He's like, it's right up there. And I never could understand why I couldn't see it. And he had explained to me. He says, oh, I forgot to tell you. The hawk comes in the direction of the sun. See, when you look at where the hawk's coming from, you're blinded. The prey is blinded. That's how smart the hawk is. So it's almost like the hawk disappears. Because in order to look at where the hawk is, you have to look directly in the sun. The hawk knows that. And so before you know it, shoots down, and that bird is gone. That bird is dead, right? But it happens all the time. That's the nature of God. I mean, that's what happens in the world. That's just what happens in nature. And so we have to look upon that. So the big animals, look at the strong animals, the bigger animals, a whale, I mean, they eat tons of little plankton, little tiny, not plankton, but the little fish, the sharks, right, the barracudas, they're always going to attack smaller prey, eating up the fish, okay? And speaking of the earth and that the fact that it teaches us in verse 8, every farmer knows that all the good crops must suffer from the encroachment of crabgrass. So you would say, okay, if there's truly a God, why does he allow, let's say we talk about the wheat and the tares, right? The fake wheat. Why would he allow the fake wheat to come in there? Why would he not prevent that? The crabgrass, the ragweeds, the cuckleburrs, the Johnson grass, the thistles, the briars, the grass spores, all this stuff. Why does he allow this? It's something that happens in nature. And guess what? Evil and bad, evil and good happen in nature. It's natural. There you go. It's the natural thing that happens. And so we cannot sit there and have wisdom against what is nature, what is natural, what has been put in place. And Jesus Christ warned us. He says, I'm going to send you out like lambs to the slaughter. Did he not tell us that? Did he not warn us of that, right? I know it's hard. Trust me. I was thinking about that. I didn't even want to say that. I'll be honest with you. But I would have to deny what God said in order not to say that. Didn't he not say that? He's going to send us out like the lambs to the slaughter. The wolves, lambs fed to the wolves, right?
Just like the slaughter, for the pig.
Yeah.
The pig.
Yes. So we can eat. I mean, again, that I always think about that breakfast. And you have all these warriors that are in. They're in to make sure the breakfast happens. The chickens, they're in. They're going to lay their eggs, right? And then the pigeons. They're going to lay their eggs, and then you have the cow that's going to give you the milk. But the pig is all in. The pig has to give it all. Okay, didn't Christ do the same thing? Wasn't he all in? He didn't come here just to perform miracles. He didn't come here just to tell us the word of God and show us the way. He didn't come here just to establish the kingdom, because the kingdom wouldn't have been established. He didn't come here to establish the New Testament, because there has to be a death of the testator. He came here and had to die. He had to give his life. Okay?
It's just like when you have horses.
Uh-huh.
You have to give them all their food and cows, all of that, their hay and all of that.
All that stuff got to be given, then.
A little bit of cows, a little bit of horse, and all of that. They got to get all that food.
So when you show them about the animals and how this is just nature, the nature of God, this should have silenced his friends, but it did not. The argument should have been silenced from the so-called comforters, but it didn't. And we see that in verse 9 and then in 12. Wisdom is not with the old men of our world, but it's with God. And what he was trying to tell them is the wisdom is not with these, just because you're older. A lot of people, wisdom does not come with age. We say that all the time. Oh, wisdom comes with age. Unfortunately, it does not. There are a lot of people that are ignorant. There are a lot of people that are unwise, even though they're older. Okay, let's look at verses 13 through 25. Do I have a reader that wants to read verses 13 through 25? Come on to the front. Don't raise your hand. Don't everybody raise their hands at once. Come on. Oh, goodness gracious. You can repeat if you want. Come on up, Eric. We're going to be reading verses 13 again. We're in Job chapter 12. And this one here can be summarized quite easily, so it won't take us long after this read to summarize.
13 through 25. To God belong wisdom and power,
yes.
Counsel and understanding are His. What He tears down cannot be rebuilt. The man He imprisons cannot be released. If He holds back the waters, there is drought. If He lets them loose, they devastate the land. To Him belong strength and victory. Both deceived and deceiver are His. He leads counselors away, stripped, and makes fools of judges. He takes off the shackles put on by kings and ties a loincloth around their waist. He leads priests away, stripped, and overthrows men long established. He silences the lips of trusted advisors and takes away the discernment of elders. He pours contempt on nobles and disarms the mighty. He reveals the deep things of darkness and brings deep shadows into the light. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and disperses them. He deprives the leaders of the earth of their reason. He sends them wandering through a trackless waste. They grope in darkness with no light. He makes them stagger like drunkards.
Okay, so we see the wisdom of God, right? With Him, with God, verse 13 tells us, is wisdom and strength. He's the one that has counsel and understanding. Behold, in verse 14, it says, He breaketh down and it cannot be built up again. What can He destroy? And if He doesn't want it built up again, oh, a.k.a., let's say, as example, Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? Has anybody heard about Sodom and Gomorrah being rebuilt? Anybody? The rebuilding of Sodom and Gomorrah? I don't think so, right? So it's gone. A lot of these kingdoms that were, and they were destroyed by God, they stayed destroyed, basically. And then it says, behold, He break it down, it cannot be built up again. He shut it up a man, and there can no opening. He cannot be released. If He takes away your ability to talk, it ain't coming back again, right? He can shut you up for life. He can take your life away if He wants to. He can do that. He's the one that has the power. Behold, He withholdeth the waters. They dry up. Okay, did He not do that when they parted the Red Sea and they walked across, the children of God walked across dry land, but that used to be covered by water. And they overturned the earth. With Him is strength, verse 13 says, and wisdom. And the deceived and the deceivers are His. He leadeth counselors away, spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. Who has control over these great counselors of the earth? God does. He's over them. Okay, His counsel is greater than their counsel. His judgment is greater than that judgment, even that of kings, even the kings of the earth, even the kingdoms of the earth, right? And so in verse 17, and 18, it says, He looseth the bond of the kings and girded their loins with a girdle. He can establish a king. He can take away a king, right? As well as the kingdom. He leadeth princes away, spoiled, and overthrow the mighty. So He can take a prince over here, and they can get the spoils of the mighty people, the mighty nations. Did He not do that with the children of Israel? Did He not turn over the enemies? And the spoils of the enemies He gave unto His children through His power, not their power. That's why a lot of times He would choose a small number. So it's understood that the children of God did not do that by their number and their strength, but they did it by the strength of God. He has the power to do that, right? And then it continues to go on. It says, He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. Okay, it doesn't matter. He's the one that has control over the mighty. He's the one that can overtake those who are considered in power. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. Even the wisdom, the knowledge of the ancient people. Did He not tell you sometimes, I will take away your wise men? I'll take away that wisdom? He's going to take it away from you. There's knowledge that you used to have. We still can't figure out how they built the pyramids, right? We can't figure it out, but they had the knowledge to do it. What happened to that knowledge? What happened to the ancient knowledge to do that all through the world, right? And South America and all over, we see, even in North America, we see these pyramids. He poured contempt upon princes and weakened the strength of the mighty. He discovered deep things out of darkness and bring it out to light and shadow of death. Can you think of things that were hid? I mean, they think that they found all kinds of things under the ocean, right? Well, they were hidden for a while. God hid them. Then when he wanted them to be revealed, they were revealed. There were things that were underneath the sand that were hidden for a time. And then when God wanted it revealed, it was revealed. There are things that are the North Pole, okay, that are frozen in the ice that are now being revealed. Who has the power to do that? Who can cover it up? Okay, and then who can reveal it? He increases the nations and destroys them, enlargeneth the nations and straighten them out. Who can destroy a nation? Who can build a nation up, right? He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the heart, the earth, and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Thank you. Appreciate it. We got 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Okay. 10 more minutes? 15 after? Okay, thank you, sir. And so, in the wilderness, his people were in the wilderness, but they were led by God. But there are people that will be led into the wilderness and be led astray and be led in darkness. Yes, he can do that. They grope in the darkness without light, and he maketh them stagger like a drunken man. There are people that can go, that can have wisdom and knowledge, worldly wisdom and knowledge, but then God can send them on a different path of destruction, right? Where they lose that wisdom, they lose that knowledge. So in other words, the ultimate power is with God. Amen. And so that's what we have to understand. And so, and as far as judgment, we have to understand that he is the ultimate, his way is the right way. So when we look at nature, nature tells us that this is God. And so that way we're not judgmental, and we're not using our own wisdom, and we're not standing on our own wisdom, unfortunately, misjudging a fellow brother or a fellow sister based on their circumstances. Okay, so I was a little bit out of what I wanted to keep it into the realms of just how things that seem unjust to us are just. Their nature is just the way things happen. And so when we look at these things and we look at our lives, or the lives of others, then we'll look at it differently. Okay? And we won't charge God. We won't falsely accuse God of doing wrong out of our ignorance, okay, and out of our worldly wisdom instead of God's wisdom. Okay, any questions at this point? No questions? Any comments? Yes? It's the book of Job. We've been studying Job, chapter 12. Okay, so, yes?
Purifying the church. Rather than the wilderness, he uses the house out to purify the church.
Yeah.
So probably that's the hope that we have to look toward, you know, in the end. That those outside forces are all things work for the good of those who are.
Look at the Pharaoh. Okay, God says, "Let my people go." And then he allows a man to say, "No, I'm not letting them go." I'm thinking, wait a minute, if I'm God and I want my people to be released, this one guy is not going to sit here and stand in my way. Why is he allowing Pharaoh to say no all the time? There was a purpose, right? There had to be some miracles that would be performed, some things that Egypt experienced that we're still talking about even today, right? We're still talking about the plagues of Egypt today. So he had to say no. He made him say no. He hardened his heart so he would say no, so he could perform this great miracle. Okay? And so we don't know the plans of God, but we trust, yes, we trust in Him, and that's what we have to do. That's what faith is all about, right? Faith, the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not yet seen. We can't see them. We can't see it, so we just have to have faith. Yes? Yes, yes. Well, martyr basically is going to give them their lives for the cause. And so in the early church in the first century, when the Roman Empire implemented a decree that you would say Caesar is God, or you could not buy, you couldn't sell, and you can lose your life if you didn't say that. And the Christians in the first century, they were not going to worship Caesar as God, and a lot of them died. They were martyred. Okay? And then in the book of John, John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, was able to see into heaven, and he saw these people that were beheaded for the cause of Christ. They're worshiping God. And so he had to take that message back to the early church and let them know it's okay. Okay, yes, you may die physically, but you're not going to die spiritually. You will live. And so that's what that's all about. And we're sent. I mean, if he didn't, because I thought to myself, why would he allow this to happen, the Romans to be able to do all these horrible things to his people? You see, that's the wisdom of the world. We have to look at God's nature and how things happen. And then that way we don't have the misjudgment that Zophar or Eliphaz or Bildad had against Job or against our, you know, neighbors. But I hope that answers it. But yeah, it's unfortunate. As humans, we don't like that, right? That Christians are being beheaded and all these horrible things are happening, but they're happening, right? Yeah. It's a possibility. She was asking when we talked about the fact that God, when he destroys, is not rebuilt. And she said, what if they try to rebuild it again? Would he destroy it again? There's a possibility, right? Okay. They're trying to rebuild a lot of things, you know, but they're not successful in rebuilding them in their glory. I mean, they're not able to do it. The Roman Empire, the British Empire tried to do the same thing. Rebuilding the Roman Empire, it just doesn't work the same, you know. But that's it. Any other questions? All right, may God add a blessing to the hearing and the reading and the studying of his word this morning. God bless you all. We'll do chapter 13 next week.